Shalom, Havareem, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to you too, my dear, and to all the listeners, and may you be blessed by today's study in the book of Jonah, proving stubbornness, well, it's just not a virtue.
Yes, and I can be a witness to that.
Well, me too. So, let us now give honor to our Lord.
Abba, Father, we do honor you as the supreme being over all. Thank you for assuring us that we will soon experience life's ultimate victory. We pray for the afflictions of the righteous, that you show mercy and healings according to your will. We lift up to you our unsaved loved ones. May their eyes be opened to your salvation grace. We pray today's study not only bless the listeners, but also bring a smile to your face. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, before we get into that whale of a tale, how about a little news?
That's cute. And yes, we do have just a little summary, and we'll begin with Israel, who is gearing up for the elections next Tuesday.
Interesting how they have their elections on Tuesdays, too.
Yes, it is. Although, in Jewish tradition, Tuesdays are a more blessed day due to the fact that God in Genesis 1, he gave a double blessing on the third day in verses 10 and verse 12. He said in Hebrew, ki tov, meaning it is good, two times. So many marriages, especially in the past, were frequently done on Tuesdays in Israel.
Yeah, but not so much in our modern age.
Right. Also interesting is that there is no ki tov said on the second day, which would be Monday, when the waters and the firmament were created. Perhaps, and this is just my thoughts, perhaps it's because it has something to do with our knowledge of Ephesians 6, of evil entities residing in the firmament, and we know there are some fallen angels chained in Tartarus under the deepest part of the sea, and Leviathan came out of the sea, and again, the sea was created on Monday, the second day.
Well, one thing we do know, God has a reason for everything he has done.
We can agree on that for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what's the latest about Gaza?
Well, as we thought last week, Israel caved into Hamas and is upholding still another agreement to a ceasefire with many conditions on Hamas's part. So, as it always does, attacks will happen again after a short respite. But why isn't Israel taking into account there are other factions in the Gaza besides Hamas that will not adhere to any agreement? Israel's intelligence admits to picking up chatter from Islamic Jihad, who are planning to do their own attacks.
Well, and everyone knows that's how Hamas operates.
Right. So they themselves can deny involvement and blame it on others who have, really, Hamas's encouragement to conduct all kinds of attacks. They are not fooling anyone, well, except maybe the more common folk. But we know Israel is on to all this, but it's still perplexing.
Yeah, it's just political.
Yeah, obviously, especially since the elections are next week, where added chaos could be a serious problem. But then, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, they need to rather stay focused up north.
Well, yeah, because of Iran's new move.
Right. Iran recently finished a huge move of everything military from its headquarters in Damascus to northern Syria to a city named Aleppo.
That's pretty close to Turkey.
Yes. Iran thought that Israel would be less likely to bomb that area because of that, and also because Russia has air defense batteries near Aleppo.
But they thought wrong.
Indeed. Because Israel has... Well, they've got some pretty precise missiles. And the day after Iran was totally moved in, the Israeli Air Force, well, they hit the area. And that was on March 27th, causing a lot of injuries with some casualties.
Which is why Netanyahu is meeting with Russia on Thursday.
But that also means Damascus is no longer a target. So to those of us who follow prophecy, where does that leave Isaiah 17?
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, let's switch gears. President Trump has really been lapping in victory. His Michigan rally included a lot of puffery. I prefer that he was more humble.
But as we said last week, the Dems, you know, they'll never concede.
Nope, as we are currently witnessing. So the question of the week is, will Congress get the unredacted report as they are demanding?
Not a chance.
Well, perhaps all this infighting might just guarantee Trump's victory next year. And anything they do find in the report will be about his past business deals, which were probably not always on the up and up, but nothing to do with his presidency.
And he knows it.
But interesting that after Attorney General Barr's summary of the report, the mainstream media's ratings, well, they went way down.
Yeah. Well, so will President Trump close the border?
Oh, well, I would hope not. I do love my avocados.
Yes, you do.
Mexico really needs to step up to the plate and stop these migrants.
All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Let me also add that your prayers and love offerings are very important right now, so we are letting our needs be known to you.
And bless you for it.
All right, then, the book of Jonah. Well, it begins right off the bat telling us he was indeed a prophet. We really only know a little about him, and that's from other scriptures, as in 2 Kings. We know that he was the son of Amittai and lived in the northwestern section of Israel, which is fitting, since he warned the northern tribes about the Assyrians.
Yeah, who later invaded in 722 B.C.
Yes. Jonah, whose name means dove, prophesied about 40 years before that invasion during the reign of King Jeroboam II. So probably around 760 B.C. is when God told Jonah to preach repentance to the very cruel, ruthless, and feared Gentiles at Nineveh,
the capital city of Assyria.
Mm-hmm. Israel's biggest enemy at that time. Now, today, Nineveh would be located in the area of Mosul on the east side of the Tigris River in northern Iraq.
But, you know, Jonah really didn't want to go.
I know, that is an understatement. But then again, Moses didn't at first want to return to Egypt. Yep. And remember how the Israelites didn't want to enter the Promised Land because of those giants?
What a mistake that was.
Yes. So let me ask you, would you rather be in a whale or roam the desert for 40 more years?
Well, I get the point and take the fifth. And remember Gideon.
Right. He needed a fleece before attacking the Midianites.
Judges 6, I believe.
It is. And Peter needed a vision before sharing the gospel to the Gentile Cornelius. And Paul as well denied Christ till God knocked him off his horse.
And there are a lot more examples, including women, I might add.
You are right. But back to Jonah, who really needed some intense, outrageous persuasion. But God also had some typology in mind, and we're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, well, he sure did.
Mm-hmm. God also set the stage for Jonah, because Nineveh's ruler had recently died, which gave way to their mountainous enemies to take advantage of their current weakness, therefore encroaching on Nineveh's territory. So Jonah could now preach hope to them.
Yeah, but he refused to go.
And in fact, took off in the far away opposite direction and got on a boat of maritime Phoenicians, who, by the way, worshipped Dagon, and that was the fish god.
Interesting that Jonah was swallowed up by a large fish.
Mm-hmm, very erratic. But yes, the storm erupted and the mariners knew it came from Jonah's God, for he told them it did. So Jonah, in fear of the crew's safety, said, just throw them overboard. And when they did, the storm immediately calmed, which in gratitude, the mariners praised Jonah's God. And in verse 16, says they even offered a sacrifice to the real God.
So, lost souls made a turnaround.
It appears so, although Jonah ended up inside a very big fish.
But after 3 days, God revived him.
And so the Jesus typology. But there are some who ask, well, did Jonah really die in the fish's belly?
I think that's a no-brainer.
Well, I agree. But is there a scripture to back that up?
Yes, there is. In chapter 2.
Okay, please read verses 1 and 2, which, by the way, was authored by Jonah himself, after the fact, obviously.
Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice.
Okay. Before Christ's resurrection, Sheol, or Hades in New Testament Greek, is where all the departed souls went. And you didn't go there unless you had died. However, there was a great gulf fixed, or a big dividing line, between the unrighteous and the righteous, also called Abraham's bosom, awaiting the resurrection.
Well, like the rich man and Lazarus.
Exactly, in Luke 16. And we see in verse 24 of Luke 16 that the unrighteous rich man could yell over to Abraham, who answered back. Jesus, after his death on the cross, descended first to Abraham's bosom to proclaim to those in waiting the good news that when Christ officially rises from the dead, Lazarus and all the other righteous souls would go up to heaven.
So that is why Jonah could and did call out to God.
Yes, from Sheol in chapter 2, and goes on to explain how his soul was cast into the deep waters where the earth's bars were closed behind him. I tell you, Jonah's flesh, a type of Christ, was dead for 3 days, and it says 3 nights, when the Lord revived his spirit, soul, and his flesh as the big fish ejected him onto dry land. Now, this also conveys to us the fact that in the afterlife, the unrighteous will be quite aware of what's happening.
Yes, and according to the rich man, it was very hot.
So, we can easily understand why Jonah did finally go to Nineveh.
Yeah, but he still didn't like going.
I know. Anyhow, it was a 3 days journey across the whole city of Nineveh, where Jonah continually did preach and give warnings, which brings up more typology, this time in the Numbers 40 and 3. Remember the scripture where God says, a day to him is as 1,000 years to us?
2 Peter 3:8.
And we know that Jesus was born at the end of the fourth day, after 4,000 years from Adam, with days 5 and 6, or for 2 days, representing 2,000 years, we have the church age. On the very beginning of the third day from his first coming, so 4 plus 3 equals 7, he calls us up at the resurrection.
And we talked about that in Hosea.
Yes, chapter 6, verse 2, and I think you should read that again.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight.
But because of inaccurate calendars, of course, only God knows for sure when that is exactly. So, the end of the sixth day, or 6,000 years, on day 7, Jesus calls up his bride, and the last 1,000 years begins.
The first 7 years of those is the tribulation on earth.
Yes, and then we return with Christ, as stated in Revelation 19, to usher in his actual kingdom on earth.
Yeah, the number 40 is also revealing here.
Yes, because we read in verses 4 through 10 of chapter 3 of Jonah that Jonah often speaks in the third person. You probably caught on to that. But he's using Teshuva and Yom Kippur phraseology when he talks about fasting. Now, you know, we have often talked about the 40 days of Teshuva in other minor prophets.
And other scriptures, too.
For sure. As when Moses returned to the mountain for 40 days to ask for forgiveness of the people over the golden calf incident. God often chooses this yearly 40-day season of repentance to correct and rebuke a certain group of people, calling for them to repent, which is usually Israel, but in this case, it's the population of Nineveh.
And we see that Nineveh sure did repent.
Yes, and that was later confirmed by Jesus in Matthew 12:40. Could you maybe read that?
For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here.
Great confirmation. And this is how we know Jesus did not die on a Friday, but rather a Thursday, so that it would be 3 days and three nights.
For any new listeners, maybe you should just quickly go over Teshuvah again.
Okay, I'll quickly try to do that. On the Hebrew calendar, the last month of every year, which is Elul, beginning on the first and for the next 40 days, takes us to the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. And this is the day the people would put on sackcloth and ashes, aggressively repent for their sins throughout that year, ending the last day with a total fast on Yom Kippur, even without water. And it would begin from sundown the day before to sundown on Yom Kippur. So here in Jonah, particularly these last verses of chapter 3, it is very obvious by the terminology it was occurring during the season of Teshuvah. And then, 5 days later, they would celebrate their new spiritual beginning at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also the day of Christ's birth, as we have often taught, which, by the way, all these teachings are on our webpage, shofarministries.net. Lots of them. Okay, the last chapter is chapter 4, and it's the final and climactic chapter, showing God's ultimate love and compassion for sinners too. But instead of rejoicing in Nineveh's repentance, Jonah, now remember, he just didn't know about Jesus yet like we do, and he was still angry. For he felt God was just too merciful. And in fact, he even admits in verse 2, that was why he hated to go in the first place, because he knew how gracious and merciful God was and would be, and expected God to forgive. And he thought these were just ruthless, undeserving killers. Jonah was so upset, he even asked God to take his life in verse 3. Anyhow, Jonah pouts and goes over to the east side of Nineveh, where he could just camp out to see them and watch what the city will do. And in the back of his mind, he probably wondered, well, did they really repent? Well, God in his goodness even grew him a large plant of some sort as a shelter. And Jonah was really grateful for that. But by morning, it had withered from some kind of eating type worm. And Jonah, he actually felt sorry for the plant that was destroyed by the worm. but also became angry that he lost his shade because the sun came up and the east wind blew. Well, it became very hot, and Jonah became faint. And again, he just prayed for death. So, in the last two verses, we see God kind of scolding Jonah by asking, why would he take pity on a plant, but not over 120,000 people who can't hardly discern between their right hand or their left or even between their livestock? And you know what? That's the end of the story. That's all Jonah has to say. And it's as if it's for us to answer that question. Are you forgiving? Do you have the faith to believe anyone can and does get saved? Or do you bypass certain people without giving them the gospel? Because you're just sure they won't accept it. Or even thinking they don't even deserve to get saved. Gosh, I've heard that from so many people, especially when someone gets saved on their deathbed, who were just awful people. But yes, God is forgiving to all. So, to wrap it up, in the end, Jonah was obedient. But he sure could have saved himself a lot of heartache. Kind of makes me wonder how many heartaches I myself might have gone through, perhaps because I wasn't obedient when nudged by the Holy Spirit. You know, the writings of Jonah gives us all a great lesson of faith, even when we don't want to witness and explain to them the horrible outcome of their unbelief. God always desires that we do this. So you're always being asked. And then you can let Jesus take it from there, but at the very least, plant those seeds. We saw God's patience with Jonah, and he has patience with us too. Perhaps you need more faith to give you that boldness. Well, faith comes through abiding in the Word of God. Just do it. You want more faith? Get into the Word. Are you listening out there and maybe you've never made Jesus Lord over your life? Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There is no in-between, people. Those of you who are lukewarm, get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's Word. That's a good start. You need it if you do want discernment. You need it if you want your faith. You need it just to get through these horrible days that we're going through, with evil getting worse and worse. And it really is. So I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. So, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because if you really love her, you're going to prosper in every way. And of course, that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time, have a great week. Witness to someone, plant those seeds. And if you get a chance, or I shouldn't say if you get a chance, be sure you read your Bible, read over Jonah, and read over Micah. And we're going to try, God willing, to get to that next week. God bless and shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.